Express Summit's program to those with a host and guests. They're not necessary.
This is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you that the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views. And, well, the first hour, we're going to be have open lines. Our telephone number, if you'd like to call us, is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. And you're welcome to call in and would be glad to discuss what you want to discuss. But this evening, before we came on the air, I was discussing with a friend what's going on in the Middle East. And, of course, I think most people are fairly well disillusioned with what's going on over there. I think the majority of the people would like to get out of the Middle East, like to bring our boys home. Over 3,000 American boys have died. Of course, have you ever noticed how they always separate the boys who've died in Iraq in battle from those who've died in Afghanistan, because there are another several hundred who've died in Afghanistan, and then they separate those who've died in battle from those who've died from as a result of the accident. So the real number is a great deal higher. And then, of course, they talk about the number of casualties we've had, somewhere probably in the neighborhood of 30,000 seriously injured casualties. They never talk about the fact that about a third of the young men that we've sent over there, and we've sent over probably close to a million men to fight there and rotated them through Iraq and Afghanistan, about a third of them, after they come home, come down with some sort of an illness. They want to call it post-traumatic stress, or they really don't know what to call it. It seems to be very similar to the Gulf War syndrome that the government still denies, of course, involved our troops who were in the first Gulf War. We do know that of the 695,000 troops that were involved in Gulf War I, according to the Veterans Administration statistics, which we have and which we'll be glad to provide for you or tell you how to get them on the internet, over 80,000 are already dead. Actuarially, that couldn't have happened. We only lost 100 men in battle over there in the first Gulf War. But of those who've come home, 80,000 are already dead. Young, healthy men. We set off to fight for freedom, and of course, now they're dead. And well over probably 200,000 to 300,000 of that 695,000 are ill with what they call the Gulf War syndrome, which the government denies, but we have a great deal of evidence that they simply experimented with these young men. We carry a book called Vaccine A, which points out that many of them received experimental vaccines, but they can't admit that. The vaccines contained an adjuvant called squalene, and recent studies have shown that the squalene, along with aluminum, at least in animals, in mice, produces terrible changes, destroys nerve cells. But they experimented with them, and they've done this over and over again. If you doubt that, of course, we carry a report from the Veterans Administration. Came out in 1994, called the Rockefeller Committee Report, over the name of Senator Jay Rockefeller. If you'd like to get the Rockefeller Report, it is available from Radio Liberty, talking about the experiments that have been done on American servicemen, yes, and American citizens, without their knowledge or consent, that they're actively concealing. I know when I tried to get the author of the report on my program, I was able to track her down at the Veterans Administration, and when I asked her to come on a radio program, she was frightened to death. No way was she going to come on a radio program. But we do have a report. Of course, they did everything they could to suppress the report. I actually talked to the fellow in the United States printing office who told me that other than the copies of the report that they printed for the members of the Senate, who were on the committee, and senators who asked for it, they printed 35, I think it was 35 or 40 copies. And I said, why? Well, we were just going on that I talked to the fellow at the U.S. printing office about this report on the rock put out by the Veterans Administration in 1994, called the Veterans Administration Report, went into the experiments they've done on American soldiers, and they actually printed perhaps a grand total of, I think there was 35 or 40 of them at the most. And I said, why did you only print 35 or 40? We're a nation of almost 300 million people. Oh, he says, it's just so expensive to print them. Well, I bought up 25 of them, and we actually print them here on our little printing machine. There's nothing to printing them off. We can run them off very inexpensively. This report was suppressed, just as the truth about the Gulf War syndrome has been suppressed. And the book and the four tapes we have on Vaccine A tell a tragic story of a whole army of Americans who were experimented on. And now we're finding, of course, about a third of the young men coming home from the second Gulf War are ill within 3 months. But we never count them as casualties of war. Now, certainly Dr. Joseph Stiglitz, who is a Nobel Prize-winning economist, has said that this war we're in the Middle East, is going to cost probably at least $2 trillion or more, and that $2 trillion figure assumes that we're going to be out of there by the end of next year. But if we're not and we drag on, well, we could be talking about maybe even $2.5 trillion or $3 trillion. And there's no way that a nation that is having to borrow over $3.5 billion every day to pay its debts, apparently about $1 billion of that comes from other countries, the other couple of billion comes from Americans or American banks, things of that sort. But we're having to borrow that amount of money every single day simply to pay our bills. There's no way we can continue fighting a no-win war in the Middle East as we are involved with today. And believe me, ladies and gentlemen, this is a no-win war. And when we get back here from the break, why we will go into why this is a no-win war, why this is simply a repeat of what happened in Vietnam. And unless you understand Vietnam, you cannot understand what's going on in Iraq today. Unless you understand the men who created Vietnam, you cannot understand the men who created the tragic situation we are facing today. In fact, many times it's exactly the same people, like deja vu. All over again. We'll be back in just a moment at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. It's open lines, and we're looking forward to hearing from you. This is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And I was simply pointing out that the war we are involved in the Middle East today is Vietnam all over again. Now, why do I say that? Well, let's just look at what happened in Vietnam. We had a very courageous men. We have a very efficient army and military. We rotated in and out of Vietnam about 10 million troops over a period of 10 years. And the mightiest nation in the world with nuclear weapons and sophisticated weapons was unable to defeat a little nation the size of the state of Mississippi in 10 years. In fact, we lost the war, not because we had to lose the war in Vietnam, but because it was planned that way. And it was planned by Henry Kissinger and Robert McNamara. Both of them are members of the Trilateral Commission. Robert McNamara, of course, was the Secretary of Defense, and at least according to an article we have from West Magazine, Henry Kissinger and Robert McNamara used to go together to the occult center that Maurice Strong had in in Colorado. It was called La Baca Grande, where the Satanists and the witches and the shamans and the people involved, deeply involved in the occult, would meet regularly, and at least according to the article in West Magazine, why Henry Kissinger and Robert McNamara would go there together. Now, Henry Kissinger was deeply involved in what happened in Vietnam, and Henry Kissinger is deeply involved in what's going on in the Middle East today. And until very recently, he was saying there was no way out to victory. Only very recently, as he began talking about, there's no way to win the war. But if you read Bob Woodward's latest book, State of Denial, he will tell you that the major advisor to George Bush, taking us into this tragic situation in the Middle East, was none other than Henry Kissinger. Now, why did we go to war in the Middle East? Do you remember why? Well, of course, we had to retaliate against Osama bin Laden, of course, who had launched an attack against the United States and recruited 19 hijackers to come here and hijack four planes and destroy our buildings. But if you go to the FBI website, and I hope you'll check this out, go to the FBI website and look for the Osama bin Laden 10 most widely wanted men, and you'll see Osama bin Laden is wanted for the attacks on the American embassies in Africa, but there's no mention of the 9/11 attack. There's no mention on the FBI website. You see the picture of Osama bin Laden, but no mention of the 9/11 attack. We have heard that when people have called the FBI and said, why don't you mention the 9/11 attack when you're talking about Osama bin Laden? They're told, well, we don't have enough evidence that he was actually involved. Well, maybe that's not accurate, but all I can do is tell you what's on the Internet, on the FBI site, on the nation's 10 most wanted men. And one of them is still listed as Osama bin Laden, but no mention of 9/11. But under any circumstances, the president told us that we had to avenge the death of 3,000 or almost 3,000 Americans. I don't know how many of you out there in the listening audience know, but 1,100 of the bodies of the people who were killed in the Twin Towers have never been recovered. 1,100 bodies have never been recovered. Now, you would have expected if they had been, if the buildings had simply pancaked down, as we're told, the bodies would have been crushed there, but they would still be parts of the bodies there. I mean, you can crush them, but the bodies would be there, the bones would be there. But they weren't. They were literally vaporized, like all of the equipment there. The telephones, the computers, everything was vaporized. How could you vaporize it by simply crashing those floors down, one on the other? Were they actually killed when they were crushed, or were they simply vaporized when the building exploded? I don't know the answer to that question, but I will tell you the implications are that if we have not been told the truth about 9/11, and somebody knew the attack was coming, or even possibly allowed it to take place, or maybe even staged what we saw that day, then think of the implications. It would mean that the attack on the Middle East really was not necessary. It would mean that all the American soldiers who've died in Afghanistan and Iraq, all those lives are unnecessary, and the casualties and several hundred thousand people who are ill now, who've come back, of our servicemen who've come back, ill with some sort of an illness which the government can't explain. They call it post-traumatic stress. And probably over 600,000 Iraqis, and we don't know how many Afghans have died. I do have a book written by a man who was with the special force units that went into Afghanistan right after 9/11, and that was on October the 7th. We landed our troops in Afghanistan, and they said that within a few weeks they'd killed 30,000 Taliban. Of course, they did this with air power. It was a magnificent military affair, but each one of them was a human being. Each one of them, I'm sure, enjoyed seeing the sunrise and the sunset and wanted to raise their family, but they were defending their homeland, whether you agree with the Taliban or not. They were defending what was their homeland, and they were fighting for their religion, and yes, they have an unjust system there. But they have the same unjust system in Saudi Arabia, and Saudi Arabia had financed the Taliban. And they have a very similar unjust system in Pakistan, and Pakistan had funded the Taliban. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, your government had funded the Taliban as well. In fact, if you read the speech that President Bush delivered on the 20th of September, and you can, 20th September 2001, you can find that by going to the internet and typing in whitehouse.gov and pull down his 20th of September 2001 address to the nation. President Bush will tell you that we were the largest source of humanitarian aid for Afghanistan in the entire world. Well, Afghanistan was the Taliban. We were funding that country. Why were we funding the wicked Taliban if they were oppressing the women and doing... Well, one of the things was that it actually shut down the opium trade. And I have read that the Americans rewarded the Taliban with $47 million for doing such a good job to shut down the opium trade. Now that the wicked Taliban are out, the opium... crop has increased. It's the largest opium crop there's ever been. It's corrupting the people of Europe here. But for those of you who do not know, the largest purveyor of drugs in the world is the American Central Intelligence Agency. So on one hand, we have certainly one agency of government rewarding the Taliban for shutting down the drug trade, and then you have another department of government that is actually, of course, furious because it's been shut down, because it's cutting into their profits. And if you doubt that the CIA is involved in drugs, you need to read the Inspector General's report that came out after Gary Webb had exposed the CIA drug involvement in his classic series of articles that appeared in the San Jose Mercury. Of course, you remember what happened to Gary Webb. He became so despondent that he actually shot himself in the head twice when he committed suicide. He shot himself in the head twice. I never heard of anybody committing suicide by shooting themselves in the head twice, but that's what Gary Webb did after he had exposed the CIA involvement in drugs. There's another book we do carry. We carry a book called Into the Buzzsaw, which has an essay written by Gary Webb that goes into the background of what happened. But after he wrote his articles on the CIA and drug involvement, he could never get another job in the news media in the United States, even though he was an excellent reporter. He won a Pulitzer Prize. But somebody went to the media, and whenever he applied for a job, he couldn't get one. His name was Gary Webb, and he committed suicide by shooting himself in the head twice. So you can actually get the essay he wrote in a book we carried called Into the Buzzsaw. Of course, we have a book called Drugging America, which is actually put out by Rodney Stitch, who goes into the CIA involvement in drugs. We actually have a 4-tape set. Is there really a war on drugs? Where you'll hear Bill Clinton, after he's been asked by Sarah McClellan during a White House briefing before the press corps about the drugs at Mita Airport, and Bill Clinton is saying, "Well, that wasn't me. That was a federal operation. That was when I was a governor there at Mita Airport. Those drugs there at Mita Airport, that was a federal operation." You'll actually hear him say that. Of course, the American people mustn't understand that one agency of government is doing one thing and another agency is doing another. It's sort of like the FBI protecting the members of the mafia who are killing people, and the local police force trying to arrest the members of the mafia who are killing people. And that, of course, is a story told in Dangerous Deception, written by a reporter from the Boston Globe, who I wanted to get on my programs, but of course, he was afraid to come on as well. Going into how the FBI was actually and actively protecting members of the mafia, was actually sending innocent people to prison to protect members of the mafia. The book is Dangerous Deception. We don't carry that one anymore. We still do carry the book, though, Double Cross, written by the brother of the head of the mafia. It goes into great detail about how the mafia had worked with the Central Intelligence Agency and carried out their assassinations of people throughout the world, yes, and even of an American president. The book is Double Cross. It's available from Radio Liberty by calling 1-800-544-8927. And we're hoping that you out there in the listening audience will give us a call. Our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And we'd like to know what you think about what's going on there in the Middle East. Should we pull out? Should we stay and try to be victorious? What's going to happen in the Near East, where, of course, things are in a total state of turmoil, and it looks very soon as if the war between Israel and the Palestinians will break out again? Well, this is Dr. Stan, and, of course, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Well, as we, of course, look at what happened, you remember we went to war in Afghanistan because of the 9-1-1 attack. And, of course, our special forces went in. They were very, very efficient, certainly. Within a month, they had pretty well had the Al-Qaeda and Osama bin Laden on the run. By December, early in December of 2001, why, Al-Qaeda and Osama bin Laden were trapped in the Tora Bora Mountains, and there was no way out. And we were going to, of course, finish Osama bin Laden off and Al-Qaeda, and that would have been the end of the war. But we have an article, it appeared in the Washington Times. We'll be glad to send any of our skeptical listeners a copy of the article, where a high government official is quoted as saying, look, we're not going to try to get Osama bin Laden. If we got Osama bin Laden, how could we justify continuing the war? Our position is not Osama bin Laden first. Our position is Osama bin Laden last. And that's exactly what they happened. Well, it wasn't even Osama bin Laden last. It was Osama bin Laden, really not at all, because what happened was they would not allow our special forces troops to go in and try to get Osama. We carry a book called Crude Politics. It is my understanding that the publisher has refused to really try to disseminate the book because it tells the truth about what happened. It involves, at least part of it, interviews with members of the special forces who said we wanted to get Osama, but they wouldn't let us. And what did we do? Why, we hired a group of Afghan mercenaries, many of whom supported Osama bin Laden, and they let him escape. Oh, shucks, how could we have just been so incompetent? Well, we'll do better next time. Now we're going to attack Iraq. And ladies and gentlemen, this was planned all along. In fact, we needed an excuse to attack Iraq. That's why we had to attack Afghanistan. And if you think that sounds a little crazy, it's sort of like we're being told today, well, we want to get our troops out of Iraq. That's why we're going to increase the number of troops over there. And if you can understand that, you can understand why. Because we couldn't get Osama bin Laden, we had to attack Saddam Hussein. We had to attack Saddam Hussein because he had weapons of mass destruction, and he might give them to Osama bin Laden. Or he might sell them to other terrorists. Or Saddam Hussein is really a terrible guy who's brutal. But everybody's forgotten that he worked for the CIA. He started working for the CIA in the late 1950s, and he was under CIA tutelage ever after that. And in fact, I'm reading a book now, and we carry a book called The Devil's Game that tells part of this story, and we tell much of this story in my series of newsletters entitled Foreknowledge 911, which we made up into a series of pamphlets. And we simply quote a book which we carry called See No Evil by Robert Baer, who was a CIA agent operating in Iraq in the 1990s, who said he never met an Iraqi who did not believe the CIA was keeping Saddam Hussein in power. This was during the 1990s, after the first Gulf War, and even talks about how at least there were two incidents during this 10-year period where the Iraqi military tried to overthrow Saddam Hussein. On each occasion, why, the people were betrayed by the people working here in our own government. How could that have happened? Well, this is Dr. Stan back here, and of course our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. We're right now talking about what's going on in the Middle East, and the fact that most people would like to get out of the Middle East, and the president has a plan to get out. How is he going to get out? He's going to send more troops in. That's how he's going to get out. And of course, it was just the same way that that was, of course, we attacked Afghanistan because we had to get the wicked Osama bin Laden, who was responsible for the attack on the World Trade Center and the Pentagon. And then we didn't try to get Osama bin Laden. We let him escape into Pakistan. But we're funding Pakistan. And why didn't we simply go into Pakistan and catch him? Oh, we couldn't do that. Why, we destabilized Pakistan if we did that. Always an excuse why we couldn't do it was right. Well, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295. And right now we have Ray on the line from Santa Cruz. Hi, Ray. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. I had a good Christmas.
I'm so glad you did. Well, yeah. What do you think about what's going on?
I wanted to talk about the troop surge. And actually, originally the idea was presented by none other than John McCain. I think he was the one that originated the idea about this. He'd been talking about it for a long time, you know, John McCain has.
Right.
And, you know, I know he wants to be president, you know, really bad, but I think, you know, the president is going to address the nation with a State of the Union address, and he will be talking about that troop surge, and he'll probably scare everybody into believing that we have to have it because the war on terror, you know, we have to continue this war on terror, you know.
It's even changed a little bit. It used to be a war on terror. Now it's against the radical Islam,
Yeah.
So they've changed have you noticed how subtly it is no longer the war on terror as much as the radical form of Islam? The truth of the matter is that's the real Islam. The truth is real Islam is radical. Muhammad was a terrorist. He advocated jihad. He advocated killing the enemies of Islam. He advocated that, you know, if you're a Muslim, and once you've joined the Muslim faith, they'll kill you if you try to get out. That's the real Islam. That's not radical Islam. Fortunately, we have a lot of bad Muslims out there who don't go along with the true Islam. But they've suddenly changed the whole thrust of our attack. Our attack is no longer on terror as much as it is on radical Islam, and we want to give the people the freedom that we enjoy. And yet in the process of bringing them freedom, we're losing our freedom here at home.
Well, people like John McCain, you know, that guy, I don't know, he's one of the worst of all.
You're absolutely right.
He's really dangerous, but I think he was the one that originated the idea about the truth surge, I'm pretty sure, because he had been talking about it in the media for the past couple months. I've been reading about it. And it's really kind of scary because they're again, you know, they'll use this war on terror and against radical Islamic movement. But see, the thing is that the Sunnis and the Shiites are both radical. You know, so what are they talking about, you know?
Well, of course, what they're doing is trying to get you so confused that you figure, well, I don't understand what's going on, but I know my government is there to protect me. The only trouble that is not true. I mean, it was Thomas Paine who said that all societies are good, but government, even at its best, is a necessary evil, and of course, at its worst, it's intolerable. And I think we're moving very close to that worst part. And in the name of protecting us from the wicked Osama bin Laden, who in my information tells me has been dead for some time, in the name of protecting us from the wicked Osama bin Laden, why, we've got to fear him, and we've just got to give up more and more of our freedom. And we've got to have the government monitor every American citizen in the name of protecting us from Osama bin Laden.
Yeah. And also, you know, we have to Bill Clinton to thank, too, because he started to destroy this economy with his NAFTA, you know, agreement. I think that was the beginning and the end as far as our economy was concerned. And I don't like what's going on. I go to the store and everything is made in China, and it's really, really disheartening.
But I'll tell you, Ray, this is the way it's planned. The plan is, of course, to destroy this country from within, to transfer our jobs, to transfer our manufacturing to other countries, to bring in large numbers of highly trained people from other countries who work for half the salary, and to bring in large numbers of untrained people who will take the menial jobs for a much lower salary. And basically it is to destroy the middle class. And of course, when the currency collapses, then most of the people who have their money tied up in bank accounts or bonds or CDs or annuities or pensions, they're all going to be impoverished. And who are they going to look to help them? Why, they're going to look to the government. Hey, hang on there. We're going to have to take a quick break here. And our telephone number is, once again, is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Anybody wants to read the master plan? There is a Mein Kampf. It's called the Earth Charter. And we'll tell you more about later. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and we have Ray with us on the line. Ray, did you have anything else you wanted to cover?
Yeah, well, you know, I'm wondering about this election. This in 2008, I've heard Edwards is going to run. I don't know much about him.
He is the selection of the Bilderbergers. He is a selection of the same people who picked Bill Clinton to be the president. They've picked John Edwards. Now, whether he's going to get the nomination, the Republican nomination, I don't know, but they usually pick both of our candidates for us. The Bilderbergers, the Trilateral Commission, the Council on Foreign Relations, the Club of Rome, and their ancillary occult organizations are the people who really make the decisions. And we go to the polls and vote for the candidate of their choice.
Yeah, that's true. But both of the political parties run by the same people. And of course, what we need really is a third party that's strong, you know, and they won't allow that. They try to stamp it out, you know, the Constitutional Party and the other parties that are, you know, valid. You know, they try to make them invalid by the news media, you know, The news media has us under control, you know.
You're absolutely right. Maybe the other thing is that all of our conservative and anti-communist and Christian organizations, for the leaders of this country, have been infiltrated and neutralized. They're very, very clever in what they've done. And believe me, I belong to these organizations. I see them. The Constitutional Party is fragmented and broken. A lot of good people in there. They want to do something. But unfortunately, the organization has been fragmented and is no longer effective in this battle. I wish it weren't so. I hope it can be rejuvenated. But you see, the other side doesn't want any opposition.
They don't.
They want to run candidates on two political parties. They control both of them. And, of course, they do not want us to have a choice, because they realize the vast majority of the American people are patriots who want their freedom, who do not want to relinquish the sovereignty of this nation to the North American Union, and then, of course, to the this union of the Western Hemisphere and into this world government, this totalitarian world government. But as long as the other side controls the media, and they control the banking, and they control the corporations, and they control the electoral process, and they can have, you know, these electronic voting machines, where, of course, as you remember, of course, during the last election, one precinct in Ohio had an electronic voting machine, and 800 people voting, and 4,000 votes for George Bush. And the explanation was, well, the machine had a hiccup. And, you know, how gullible can the American people be? They fixed that election. The exit polls, so I didn't vote for John Kerry, I don't like him, but he won that election by the exit polls.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest is Ray, calling from Santa Cruz, and Ray is simply saying we need to have another political party, but as I simply pointed out, they will not allow it. Yes, there was the Constitution Party, a fine organization with dedicated patriots all across America, but the leadership of this has been fragmented. They've created infighting within the organization, and it has lost the guiding principles. And people have been actively planted in this organization to disrupt it. The same is true within the Libertarian Party, and of course the Green Party. These organizations, these are all creations of course, the establishment. The Green Party represents the radical left, which has been funded by the establishment, just like the radical right and the radical right organization has been funded. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. If you have a question or comment, give us a call. Ray, what else would you like to cover?
Well, God help us if John McCain becomes our next president.
Well, you know, we actually have an article that I forgotten whether it was Newsweek or Magazine or what it was, but somebody once asked him why he wanted to be a president, and he smiled and he said, because Angela Lansbury turned over the Queen of Diamonds. Mm. Do you remember the story?
Yeah, I think you said you mentioned that before.
This came to the story that a Manchurian Candidate. It's well worthwhile watching it. You get read it out at Blockbuster.
Oh, yeah.
And of course, Angela Lansbury was the controller of this fellow who had been a prisoner of war. And of course, John McCain was a prisoner of war. And many people believe that he went over to the other side. Certainly he was wounded, but he, of course, cooperated completely. Most of the officers, most of the men who were captured, resisted. John McCain didn't. I have pictures of him actually hugging the man who tortured so many of our prisoners. And I will tell you, the POWs who were there hated John McCain. And this is the great tragedy. But many people feel he is a Manchurian candidate, and they've guided him. They, being whoever it is who controls this whole international movement, and they made him a United States senator. But when he was asked why he was doing what he was doing, his comment was, and I've kept a clipping. He said, because Angela Lansbury turned over the Queen of Diamonds, and I simply suggested people go ahead and get a copy of the Manchurian Candidate motion picture, and recall the story. I think it's very strange that he would have made that statement. And I agree with you, Ray. The last person we want is John McCain, but as I look at the people out there, I do not see anybody there that would represent me. They all would represent one or another branch of this globalist movement, whether it be Hillary or Obama. But I think that probably they're simply being set up right now. I think that the real candidate... my gut feeling, I have no inside information, but I think that the man that at least a lot of effort is going to go into getting elected will be John Edward.
Yeah, I think so too. Yeah, I think McCain causes a lot of the trouble. The way he's the one that came up with the idea of the troop surge originally. Actually, he's been squawking about it for months. You know, and I don't know.
Well, I think what we have to do, Ray, is we have to try to get people to think, and we've got to go back to 911, what really happened that day. What happened to building number 7? Don't let them get you trapped into all sorts of arguments, because they've set up all sorts of straw men, they've had all sorts of books written to confuse you, and they've got a lot of people confused. Stick to the things we can be sure of. The three things. One, the story of the passports. There's no way those passports could have come down the way we've been told, pardon me, that they did. They had to be planted by someone in the intelligence agencies. Two, if you look at the pictures of Building 7 coming down, and you watch and you'll see the roof of the building caves in the middle, and then the base of the building destroys. That is characteristic of controlled demolition. Because, of course, you have to destroy the central core of the building so the building will collapse inwards. If you do not, then it'll collapse outwards. This building collapsed inwards and fell in its own shadow. And, of course, they do not want you to do that. They've got all sorts of explanations, and I like to say to people, look, are you going to believe what the government tells you, or are you going to believe your lying eyes? Watch it. You can go onto Google and simply Google in Building 7 videos. You Google in Building 7 videos and watch that building come down. And you realize, of course, this was a controlled demolition. And I doubt very much that Osama bin Laden had time to sneak into that building and put those explosive charges there. And, of course, the third thing is the military exercises were held that morning that simulated hijackers hijacking an American airplane. And those actually was used to confuse the people at NORAD, the people in the at the FAA. And neither the Joint Select Intelligence Committee investigation of 911 or the 911 Commission or the book recently written by why Thomas Keene and Warren Lee Hamilton, both incidentally, were members of the Council on Foreign Relations. Lee Hamilton, a longtime member of the Trilateral Commission, and Lee Hamilton was on this foolish Iraqi study group, ISG investigation. Lee Hamilton has certainly been an important part of this whole Brotherhood of Darkness for a long period of time. Anything else, Ray?
There's one other thing. I think they could possibly, in the future, the government may want to, they'll probably look into prohibiting people from posting controversial pictures and things like that on the internet. They probably don't want that.
I'm sure they
don't. They probably would try to use whatever they could to stop that, I think.
I think you're absolutely
right.
That's why in the time that we have, the limited time before we lose all of our freedom, we must do everything we can to reach the American people with the truth and why I do what I do, and I know that you are doing everything you can too, Ray. Hey,
yes.
I got to run.
Yes, go.
Thanks very much for being with us.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye and God bless. Well, right now we've got Don calling from, is that Ephrata? What's the city you're?
Ephrata.
Okay. That's up in the state of Washington?
Yes, it is. It's halfway between Seattle and Spokane.
Okay, fine. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And you had a comment about the Twin Towers?
Yes, I did. After listening to what you have said and what your guests have said on previous shows, I was thinking about it, and it sounds like a thermite may have been used.
We don't know how they did this, but we do know one thing, and that there's no way the buildings could have fallen at the speed of gravity. And the Twin Towers came down, at about each one in about 10 seconds. Buildings 7 came down in 6 seconds. There would have been intrinsic resistance to the collapse unless explosives were used. So physically, this could not have happened the way we've been told.
Well, thermite is a substance that burns at up to 6,000 degrees Fahrenheit, and it'll cut through steel like a hot knife through butter. And it may be the reason that the molten metal pools were found in the basement and may have cremated the bodies. And the products of combustion, well, actually thermite's made out of magnesium, aluminum, and hydrofluoric oxides, and the magnesium ignites the mixture, and it burns at tremendous heat. And what's left over is just aluminum oxide and iron oxides, which are, and some magnesium oxide, which are all present in the structure of the building anyway, so it would basically be undetectable.
Well, of course, Professor Stephen Jones of Brigham Young University is a physicist there, and a very mild, mannered gentleman who had actually had the courage to speak out and say he had actually gotten some samples from the building, and there was evidence of something not thermite but thermate, and I don't understand the difference. You probably do, but he feels there's definite evidence that there was thermate on that steel. That's why they immediately tore the building down. They sent people into a very dangerous situation. And they allowed many of the people, I mean, we're talking about literally thousands of people who worked on Ground Zero who are seriously ill now, and over 8,000 of them have filed a lawsuit. Over 400 of those 8,000 who filed the lawsuits have cancer now. How could that possibly have happened? There had to be some chemicals there that were carcinogenic. The government knew that, but they insisted they work there because they wanted, of course, to get rid of the evidence. And they got rid of the evidence, but in the process, 1,100 bodies have never been found. That's number one. Secondly, I don't know if you've ever heard my interviews with William Rodriguez, but he was he was classed as the hero of the North Tower, having gotten out himself, taken 15 people out. He was actually in the building, working that morning on the top floor of the basement, talking to his supervisor, when suddenly there was a massive explosion in the basement of the building, and both he and his supervisor were almost knocked off their feet. And then several seconds later, the plane hit the top of the building. Well, Rodriguez went back into the building, and after he had taken 15 people out, and he had the only card that would allow the firemen to get through the various doors at each level so they could get the people out, and was responsible for helping the firemen save hundreds of people, and actually was the last person out of the building before it collapsed. I mean, 30 seconds after he got out, while the building collapsed, right on top of him, he was underneath a truck, fire truck, and he had to be dug out, but he survived. And he was considered a hero, having saved hundreds of lives, except that when he began talking about the explosion in the basement of the building, why suddenly he begins getting threatening telephone calls. He begins, can't get a job any place, and when he tries to get a job, somebody's interfering and keeping him from getting a job. And then, of course, there's all the stories coming out to discredit him, and he gets into real problems when he tries to tell people what really happened that morning. There was an explosion in the basement of the building. And of course, he testifies before the 9/11 Commission, and his testimony is never heard by anybody. It's taken in secret, it's sealed immediately, along with the testimony of 1,100 other people who knew what happened. And, of course, that is sealed for 50 years. Now, if there's nothing to conceal, why would they have concealed the testimony? Why did the 9/11 Commission try to keep him from getting his message out before the public? And I would like to suggest, obviously, somebody has something to hide. People who were in the South Tower had a very similar story as well. And you'll see that in a video we have called A 9/11 Press for the Truth. Anything else you wanted to say there, Don?
When it's ignited, it burns with a bright white flash, which was noticed on a pod on an airplane before it hit the building. Also, one of the planes, on the second impact, you noticed it hit the corner, and most of the fuel from the plane looks to me like it floated out the corner.
Yeah, it sure did, and if it hit on the side, would the whole top of the building have collapsed so symmetrically? That just didn't make sense, did it?
No, it was center support columns. Most of the building supported around the outside, but there were center supports.
I think really the main support was those 47 central core steel beams. I think that the outer part was not the major support. The major support was inside, and how something had to cut across or destroy those steel beams or destroy their support at the bottom. But how could, these beams are, 100 and some stories tall, and when the building collapsed, they were all nicely cut up into little segments, and how could that have happened?
Yeah. Well, we have refractory packing around the thermite, which holds it in place.
Right.
Well, that's all I have to comment on. Thank you very much. You had a wonderful show.
Well, thank you so much, and I hope you can, get the people up there in Washington thinking and questioning and get them onto the Internet and looking at the video pictures that are up there, especially the pictures of Building 7 coming down. And don't let them get you distracted on a lot of other issues. We don't know why the Twin Towers came down, although there's something wrong with them falling at the speed of gravity. In other words, coming down in 10 seconds. But there's no question that Building 7 was controlled demolition. If you watch it, you're either going to believe what the government says or you're going to believe your lying eyes. God bless. Thanks so much, Don.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, let's go to Mike calling from Santa Cruz. Hi, Mike. How are you doing?
Yeah, hi, Stan. I just want to pick up that same thread. If anybody goes on Google Video, there's at least 20 or 30 full-length motion pictures that anybody can watch for free. In addition, there's all sorts of short clips from a minute or two up to 30 minutes or 40 minutes. And all of these are examining 9/11, the events that day, from every possible angle, all the different aspects. It's just amazing what people have done. And, our government has refused to give us a legitimate investigation into the events that day. But the people are doing it instead. And I'm just amazed. We have to realize that we don't live under a constitutional republic anymore, or democracy, or whatever you think it might be. We live under sheer evil. It's raw evil. They showed us their face that day and what they did to us, and then they used that as a pretext to mount a phony war. I don't call it a war. It's an invasion. I've been trying to recall, you were talking about the similarities between Iraq and Vietnam. One is that neither one is a war. War was never declared by our government for Vietnam, and I've been trying to recall if there ever was any semblance of a declaration of war regarding Afghanistan and Iraq. Maybe you could, do you know the details on that?
Yeah, we did not declare war, we just attacked those. And of course it was a preemptive attack, And, of course, they got some authorization from the United Nations But, of course, we simply went around and bought votes from people to back us. But, of course, this was a violation of all international rules and regulations. And it's very, very... Congress had approved of it, you know, in case they couldn't work out an agreement. But what most people don't understand is that the Iraqi government had told the American forces that they could come in until they could have a new election. Saddam has agreed to leave the country. You never would read that any place in the United States. We actually have the clippings on this. Saddam had agreed to leave the country. But, of course, we did not want him to leave the country. We needed an excuse, a pretext for going to war, and we got one. And then when we got in, all shucks, there are no weapons of mass destruction. Well, but anyway, Saddam was really a wicked and evil guy. But you know why they didn't put him before an international tribunal? The reason they didn't put him before an international tribunal, because if he had allowed, of course, to present evidence, he would have pointed out that he was financed by the American government to the tune of billions of dollars. Prior to the first Gulf War, and of course, he would probably bring out that the United States government had blocked the military efforts to overthrow him in the 1990s. That's covered in a book we carry, written by an agent of the CIA, entitled See No Evil, and there in that book as well. One of the highest-ranking CIA officers is quoted as saying off the record, "When the dust finally clears, the American people will recognize 9-1-1 was not a failure of intelligence. It was a triumph." The book, See No Evil, available from Radio Liberty. Well, Mike, you've got 3 minutes.
To wrap up the program.
Right.
Well, I wanted to help people out just a little bit, people who maybe don't know a whole lot about using the Internet and how to find those videos. It's really easy. If you go to the Google main page, and if you're using some other browser or search engine, you can just type in Google, and I think most of them will just take you right there. And right where you have the search bar, click on where it says videos, and that'll take you to all their millions of videos there, and then you can, there's a little search window, and just type in 911. That's all it takes. And you just scroll through the list and pick out what you want. As far as the building collapses, they'll show you, some of those movies will show you footage of buildings that collapsed by natural causes, earthquake or typhoon or whatever, or just plain structural failure. The huge difference between what happens to the buildings in those circumstances versus what happens to buildings when they are demolished by explosives. And it's just plain and clear that the two towers and Building 7 were controlled demolitions.
Well, I think, of course, when people have seen the controlled demolitions, they see those clouds of dust come out.
Yeah.
But you never see clouds of dust come out with a spontaneous collapse. And yet, of course, this was much more than simply clouds of dust. Everything was vaporized. 1,100 bodies disappeared.
Yeah, well, the pulverization that took place.
I think it's even more than, I mean, it's like they were just vaporized.
Yeah.
Everything was vaporized. The computers were vaporized. The light fixtures were vaporized. The telephones were vaporized. There was nothing there in the rubble.
Yeah.
And how could they possibly have done that spontaneously? I don't know what happened, but I do know that the explanation that the government is giving, you know, the 5-year study that they did, they still don't know why Building 7 came down. They do not have a good explanation. And I think the explanation they gave is based upon classified information. And when Professor Stephen Jones actually went to this committee, that organization that had done the study, and asked to see their data, he was told, well, it's all classified. You cannot see it because it's classified. Well, who are we trying to conceal the information from about the collapse of the Twin Towers? Are we trying to hide it from Osama bin Laden?
Yeah. Well, the pulverization, I prefer that word. There was a lot of vaporization, I believe, but the bulk of the material of the buildings was pulverized.
Hold that thought for just a moment there, please.
Okay.
Okay, Mike, you got about 30 seconds to wrap up.
And somebody could say, well, the weight of the buildings and the collapse and everything, that pulverizes a lot of stuff. Well, that's true, but you can see in the footage that there's a heck of a lot of stuff that's pulverized while it's still way, way up in the air, where it just goes from, in an instant almost, from a building with people and machines and paper and offices and everything like that. It just goes from that to pulverized dust.
And, of course, what happened to the tops of the buildings? You notice suddenly they're engulfed in dust, and then you never see the tops of the buildings. The tops of the buildings just sort of disappear.
There was the one top that started to fall over, and you would expect to find in the street below a big section of building in the street laying there after it's all over. But, no, it's gone.
Well,
it's pulverized.
Mike, we're going to have to let you go, okay. But God bless, and thanks so much for calling. And, of course, this is Dr. Stan. This has been Open Lines Wednesday. And, of course, we'll hope that next week we'll get a lot more calls. We always enjoy Open Line Wednesday, but we do depend upon those of you out there in the listening audience to participate. Now, we need to understand what really happened on 911. We do carry a 911 four-tape set, a 911 update four-tape set. And we think that's very important because interviews with Jimmy Walters, who spent $6 million of his own money running ads in New York City and buying television ads to try to get the people to understand that the Twin Towers did not come down as we've been told. Jimmy Walters started getting death threats. He was told he would be killed. They put a massive boulder onto the top of his car. And Jimmy Walters is, of course, hiding somewhere in Europe today. And this is what happens to people who try to tell the American people what's happened. You probably have never heard of Jimmy Walter. And the reason you haven't is because the media is controlled. So you certainly would want to get the five. We carry five DVDs, and we hope you'll want to get those. We have 911, Press for the Truth, the story of the Jersey girls, the four widows who lost their husbands there in the Twin Towers, and their drive to try to get the truth and being blocked at every turn. And then, of course, 911 Mysteries, Terror Storm in Plain Sight, and lastly, The Day That Changed America Forever, five DVDs, all tell a different part of the story. Taken together, there's no question that the official story of what happened is not true. And then the question is, if it's not true, who brought the buildings down? And what are they concealing from the American people? And why have they sealed... Why did the 911 Commission seal the testimony of over 1,100 people who came forward to tell about what happened that morning? 1,100 testimonies have been sealed. 1,100 bodies have been vaporized. Well, we don't know what happened to those 1,100 bodies, do we? Well, certainly go to our website, RadioLiberty.com. We suggest the book, Terror Timeline. We suggest the book. Entitled A Terror Timeline, my pamphlets on 911, Fire Knowledge. These will get, and then, of course, Dr. Dennis Cuddy's excellent book, Cover Up. They're all available from Radio Liberty by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. If you expect to remain free, you're going to have to be involved in this battle. We are involved in a spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization and the survival of freedom in our country. And if you're not involved, who's going to be? And if not now, when? You need to pledge yourself, not working occasionally, but full-time every much as you can to help us as we try to educate the American people, not only about certainly what happened on 911, what about this age-old plan to bring about a one-world government under a one-world ruler and a new religion? Christianity is under attack today. Freedom is under attack today. What are you going to do? We hope many of you want to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters. Help us get the truth out. Pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for our leaders and ministers, but please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. Our number, 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. We are under attack today. this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please do not call until we ask for calls, because we have with us this evening Alan Stagg. And I've known Alan, I guess, a better part of 40 years, and he's been in the conservative movement, in and out of various organizations we've been in together, and dropped out of at different times. But Alan is a patriot who loves America, and he's been battling for a long time to try to educate people about what's really going on. Well, recently he's written a book. It's really on a different subject, although he has other books, and we'll give him an opportunity to tell you that. But this is a book about a frequency-generating machine. Now, that sounds pretty far out. Frequency generator, what's that to do with much of anything? But 60 or 70 years ago, there was a man named Royal Raymond Rife, and Royal Rife was a genius. And he came up with the idea that many bacteria had a frequency. For instance, certainly we know that a singer, if he sets a certain note with her voice, she can shatter a glass. Why? Because of the frequency of her voice is the same frequency that the glass will vibrate at. And, of course, if there's enough energy there, it will shatter. Royal Raymond Rife came up with this idea that if he could find out the frequencies of certain bacteria, he could destroy those bacteria. Sounds pretty far out, but he actually had produced these machines many years ago. He had a microscope that was far more powerful than anything we have today. But you see, 50 years ago, while the Rockefellers did not, which were a dominant portion of our society, did not want a solution to the problems of disease. There were treatments for that time for cancer, and you will be getting into that more in some of our recent, our coming programs. They actually suppressed treatments for cancer that worked 50 years ago. And people say, that couldn't be true. Well, we actually have interviews where the doctor who in 1969 heard Richard Day, the director of health, medical director of Planned Parenthood, talking about the suppression of treatments for cancer. That is, of course, in a four-tapes called, that's called the New Order of the Barbarians, and of course, 2 months later, where we have the written testimony by Dr. David MacArthur, or Donald MacArthur, anyway, before the House Appropriations Committee, where he asked for $10 million to create a new form of illness for which there will be no immune response that could be used as a means of mass killing. In fact, he said that many people say we shouldn't develop this because it's a new method of mass killing, but we want the money anyway. And, of course, they got the money. Well, right now we have Alan Stagg with us. Are there really treatments that have been suppressed for many years and being brought now? Alan, thank you so very much for being with us.
It's always a delight to be with you, Dr. Stan. Thank you for having me.
Well, how did you get interested in this subject?
Well, it's very simple, Dr. Stan. I've written one medical book with and for Dr. Privatera, James R. Privatera, M.D., who practices, of course, in Covina. He's one of the nation's foremost allergists and nutritionists. He asked me to write a book about dark field technology, which he has pioneered in this country.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here.
Yes, sir.
At Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Alan Stang is just telling us that he had actually been asked to write a medical book by Dr. Privatera, who, of course, had wanted to get information out on dark field technology. Maybe you could clue us in a little on that before we get into the other field. Certainly, we used to use dark fields to identify the organism that causes tuberculosis and leprosy.
Well, this is a specific way of using the microscope that Dr. Privatera has developed, which makes it much easier to see what is happening in the patient's blood. It's live cell analysis that we're talking about, in which he does a blood test when a patient comes in, pricking the finger, putting a drop or so of blood on a slide, and then putting the slide in the microscope, and his technicians are trained to do this. And then he and the patient sitting side by side will look at it at a little television monitor and actually see, with the help of this microscope, what is happening in the blood, all the different things in the blood. And, of course, he can tell what all these shapes mean. He can tell what you had for lunch, as a matter of fact, when you undergo the test. And this, of course, helps him to know what your problem is. If people have come into his office, and he, by means of this test, he has found out that they were about to have a heart attack, for example, or perhaps were about to have a stroke, and of course was able to take the immediate action to prevent that. So it's a remarkable development. The name of the book that I wrote for Dr. Privatera about all this, of course, is Silent Clots: Life's Biggest Killers. Silent Clots, Life's Biggest Killers, which you can get a copy of, ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to pursue this subject, simply by going to my website, stangbooks.com, and clicking on books and scrolling down to the book, and you can read a little bit about it, and then if you'd like a copy, you could order it. It's called Silent Clots again.
In other words, it has to do with basically the blood has a tendency to congeal. This is really what he's talking about. He can't say you're going to have a stroke next week, but he can say your blood is highly coagulable.
Exactly. And he can tell that if you have clots, which have been implicated, of course, in cancer and so many disorders, and if you have many of these large clots, you are a walking time bomb. Just to give you one example, Dr. Stan, Dr. Privatera told me about one case. A doctor...
Hold that thought for just a moment. We're just going to bring our other stations back on here.
Yes.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Alan Stang, and he's simply pointing out that this Dr. Privatera, who with the National Health Federation and MD and certainly is involved in alternative health care, has developed a dark field technology where he can actually evaluate the blood to see if it has a tendency towards increased coagulability. I assume this is what he's doing.
Exactly.
Of course, this would make you more susceptible to a stroke or to a heart attack.
Exactly.
You're going to tell us about this one case.
Well, in this one case, a physician came in to see him, an emergency room specialist, another MD, and the doctor had a terrible pain in the chest. He came in for relief. Well, Dr. Privatera did the test, the dark field test, the live cell analysis using the dark field microscope, and discovered that the doctor was loaded with these huge clots. They were what was causing his pain. Dr. Privatera took immediate action, and the doctor was able to leave there without any pain at all. And since then, has become an enthusiastic advocate of what Dr. Privatera is doing. So that would be just one example of the use of the test and how important the test is. Dr. Privatera believes that this procedure using this microscope should be in every emergency room in every hospital in the United States. Of course, it isn't, but that's what he is hoping eventually would happen. But anyway, Dr. Stan, I had written that book to get back to your original question of how I happened to write Electronic Medicine, my new medical book. And another dear friend of mine, whom you may know, Bruce Taylor, who is the president of Eagle Research, asked me to write another book explaining what he does there at Eagle Research. And so I did, and in order to write that book, I had to do a mountain of research because I didn't know anything about what I was going to write about when we started. And so I, of course, hit the books, began to study, and studied over the course of months, and eventually I did write the book, which is entitled Electronic Medicine, Cure for Cancer with a Question Mark. And eventually I became so excited by what I had learned and what I was writing about that I pretty much now devote a big chunk of my time, most of my time to it, because it is, in my opinion, Dr. Stan, one of the most thrilling developments in American medicine that we have seen for a heck of a long time, because it is the application of frequencies in the way that you were describing at the top of our conversation this evening. If you think about it, ladies and gentlemen, you already know a lot about frequencies yourself. For example, if you are listening to Dr. Stan and me right now on an FM station, you are listening to a station that uses frequency modulation, does it not? You tune in your radio to a place on the dial to get the proper frequency so you can listen to this program. But those are just a couple of examples indicating that everything is composed of frequencies. In fact, in recent years, the subatomic particle physicists have discovered that there really is no such thing as solid objects. The only reason that you and I think we see solid objects when we look at people, for example, is that our eyesight is not good enough to see what is really there. If we could see what is really there, we would see when we look at an individual, for example, we would see lights. We would see a series of lights dancing, rotating, trembling, if you will, vibrating, in a specific pattern, and that pattern composed of these vibrating nodes of light, permit me to use that expression, nodes of light, that pattern is what you really should be seeing when you look at a solid object. Everything is composed of these frequencies, and that includes the critters, the various critters. Dr. Stan mentioned the bacterium, the different critters that invade your system and that cause most of the trouble when you fall ill to one or another disorders.
Well, now, are there any sort of double-blind studies on this sort of thing or any controlled studies to show that it really works?
I'm not aware, Dr. Stan, that there are for an obvious reason. These studies that would be acceptable to you as a physician, to other physicians, these studies, if done correctly, and if they're not done correctly, it's pointless to start with one, are very expensive. To supervise them, to conduct them, cost a certain amount of money, and that money usually comes from the government, it comes from universities, and it goes to what I could call approved medical procedures. And what we're talking about here is something that isn't by any means approved. So there are not double-blind studies that I am aware of. But, Dr. Stan, there is so much of what the physicians call anecdotal evidence by now. So much anecdotal evidence that you have to scratch your head after a while and conclude something is happening here. Maybe we don't understand it completely, but something is definitely happening. And of course, Dr. Stan, you know that doctors do things every day that they don't fully understand. If they work, if they help the patient, they do it. The doctor doesn't sit down and scratch his head and say, well, you know, we've got something that works, but I'm not going to use it because I don't understand it completely. The doctor will use it. It works, we hope. And then later on, maybe the doctor can find the time to try to figure out what is actually happening. Well, we know, Dr. Stan, again, because of the mountain of anecdotal evidence that that has by now been accumulated that flows into the headquarters of the people who make the equipment that we're talking about, that something certainly is happening. For example, if you go to my site, stangbooks.com, you will see there a couple of pictures of a horse. Now, what is that horse? What's happening there? I was on another talk show a few months ago. I hope you don't mind very much, Dr. Stan. Once in a while, I do other shows besides yours. And I was on another show. A man was listening to me, and he owns this horse, and he called up and ordered one of these machines called the Guardian, one of these frequency machines. The reason being that the horse, over the course of a couple of years, developed a tumor so huge that the tumor closed the horse's eye, so the horse couldn't see out of the eye. The horse was blind in that eye for almost 2 years. A huge monster tumor, and you will see the picture of the horse with that tumor over her eye if you go to my site, stangbooks.com. Well, the rancher called the vet out. The vet took a look and said the only two things he could suggest it would be either, number one, put the horse down, or, number two, take the tumor and, of course, the eye along with it. Well, this is a pet horse. The rancher rebelled. He refused to do either one. And when he heard me talking about this on the air, he called up and ordered one. He used it one day, three times, one day. The next day he came out to look, and the horse's eye, that, remember, had been closed now, blind for about a year and a half, the horse's eye had started to open, not a lot, but a little bit, but just enough to be able to see that the eye was beginning to open. Well, he did it every day, and one of the beauties of this particular case is that the man took pictures of the horse with his video camera every day, and there is a record that you can see of what was happening to the horse with the administration of the Guardian every day in the process of using it on the tumor. And gradually the eye began to open, the tumor began to recede, the horse started to sneeze out huge disgusting gobs of necrotic tissue, and the second picture you will see on my site is a picture of the horse with the tumor almost completely gone, and most important, the eye is open, and the horse can see out of that eye.
Well, of course, you know, a physician would say, but, you know, was there a biopsy done to confirm the diagnosis of a tumor? That would be the thing that would, from a medical point of view...
Exactly right. And the vet said, yes, this is a cancerous tumor.
But, of course, he wouldn't know unless he biopsied it. I mean, this is certainly from a medical point of view. This is how we've been approached it. So, anyway, it's a fascinating story.
Well, but you are absolutely right in thinking that way, Dr. Stan. Because if this were the only thing that had happened with this equipment, you could argue quite convincingly. Well, maybe it's a fluke. We don't know why it happened. There are spontaneous remissions and so on. It could be a fluke, and I think that would be a good position to take. But this is just one example. And by the way, remember, with a horse, there is no placebo effect. Whenever you do something like this, you always have to worry about a placebo effect, don't you? That's why in a double-blind study, one of the things you include in the double-blind study, this is why you call it that, you give one group in the test a placebo. Well, with a horse, there is no placebo effect. Yes, it's just one example, but that's the point. It's only one of many cases like this. I'll give you some more when we come back from the break.
All right, fine. We're going to be back here in just a moment with Alan Stang, and we'll tell you a little bit later how you get hold of Alan's book. And these are things that, you'll just have to decide for yourself. We'll be right here in just a few moments with Alan talking about this electronic approach to frequency generation treatment. Okay, go right ahead.
Well, another case, Dr. Stan, a lady called up Eagle Research to ask about it. Bruce Taylor, whom I mentioned earlier, explained something about the Guardian to her. He sent her to a physician who uses it. She went into the doctor and she said, well, I talked to Mr. Taylor. I'm here to use it. I want to use it once a week. This lady had stage 4 breast cancer in one breast, a black suppurating mass. She said she wants to use it once a week. Well, the doctor started yelling and screaming. The doctor said, you can't use this thing once a week. You have to come in every day. You've got stage 4 breast cancer. The next stage, stage 5, you're dead. Well, they had a big argument, and the lady compromised and agreed to come in 3 times a week.
No, but why didn't she just simply get the breast taken off? It sounds to me that this would be the logical thing to do, to have her breast taken off if it's a big fungating lesion.
She didn't want to do it. She wanted to keep her breasts, and she was hoping that this would be a way to do that. Well, she used the Guardian with the doctor 3 times a week for about 3 months. The black separating mass was completely absorbed. The breast healed. She had no medical treatment of any kind. The only thing she did was use the Guardian, which is not medical treatment. It's vibrations.
Well, of course, did they have a pathological diagnosis on this? Did this actually
Here they had a biopsy. It was stage 4 breast cancer, according to the biopsy.
All right, fine. Did you check this out? Did you talk to the doctor?
Yes, I've talked to the doctor.
Okay, fine. Go ahead.
Yes. So there's another example. Now, recently we had a case where Bruce Taylor's dog, he's got a puppy there, a beautiful black lab puppy named Sammy, stopped eating, became lethargic. He took the puppy into the vet. The vet examined her, couldn't find anything that was wrong. Finally, they decided to open her up. They opened her up, they thought maybe there was some blockage. She wasn't eating. They examined her, found no blockage after they opened her up, put her back together again, couldn't figure out what was wrong. Finally, they figured out she had parvo. Parvo is a deadly dog disease, 95% fatality, mortality, upwards of 95%. They didn't know what to do about it. In desperation, Bruce Taylor used the Guardian on the dog. According to the vet, the dog's white cell count was down to 600. This means, in effect, that the bone marrow had shut down and was no longer producing white blood cells. She was going to be dead in a few hours. He used the Guardian all night, brought the dog back to the vet the next morning. Her white blood count, white cell count, was up to 8,000, and the dog made a complete recovery. And again, there's no placebo effect with a dog. Now, when you add all these things. I mean, there are so many examples. I was at a show.
Hold that thought. Hold that.
Yes, sir.
Just for a moment, Alan.
Yes, sir.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest is Alan Stang, who I've known for many years. This is a story I present to you. I know Alan to be an honest man. But go ahead, Alan.
I was at a show.
Little. Go ahead.
I was at a health show. Health Expo show in Chicago convention at the Eagle booth. A lady walked up and asked whether she could use the Guardian. The Eagle people said, well, certainly, go ahead. She was a registered nurse, by the way. She was wearing a doctor coat, you know, with her name sewn into the pocket. Could I use it? She says, well, certainly, go ahead. She used it one time and she began to flex her hand, to work her fingers. And they asked her, well, what's happening? What are you doing? Well, she said, I have not been able to use this hand for a month. I went to the doctor. He treated me, but I still haven't been able to use the hand. And now, she says, suddenly I feel I have complete use of this hand again. And she walks away, working her hand. We're all standing there, of course, staring at her with our mouths open. Now, there have been, again, Dr. Stan, so many of these things that after a while you begin to think, hey, something is happening here. And I guess I need to take a moment to explain, a couple of, or three moments maybe, Dr. Stan, to explain the scientific background for all of this, which I refer to as 21st century homeopathy. This is what Dr. Hahnemann, who developed homeopathy, would have done in the year 1810, had he had access to modern electronics. Now, of course, in the year 1810, there were no electronics. He certainly was familiar. We know he was familiar with the experiments of Professor Luigi Galvani at the University of Bologna, for whom galvanism is named, of course. He may have known of the experiments in Philadelphia by Ben Go Fly a Kite Franklin, but we don't know that for sure. He may have known about them because they were contemporaries, of course. But he himself, Dr. Hahnemann, when he developed homeopathy, could not have known himself what he was doing. He would, through a laborious process of approving, he called it approving, he would find, with the help of his medical students, through this laborious, time-consuming, expensive process, he would find remedies that he would use, homeopathic remedies that he would use in the treatment of his patients. What he did not know and could not have known in that year was that what he was really doing, in effect, was finding a remedy that had the same frequency as the disorder he was trying to ameliorate. Going back to what we were talking about before, Dr. Stan, everything is composed of frequencies. And as you pointed out at the top of tonight's program, Dr. Stan, you pointed out the dramatic example everyone has seen when the opera singer sings a high note. She reaches with her note higher and higher, and the crystal in the chandelier trembles, it shakes violently, and then it shatters. Now, why does that happen? Because the crystal's on one frequency, is vibrating on one frequency, her note hits another frequency, speeding up the process of vibration, and when the speed gets so immense that the crystal can't hold it, it shatters. And you can get that effect when you use tuning forks in a room, you establish a magnetic resonance. All of this demonstrates that the entire universe is an electrical field. Man is not only a biological entity, he is an electrical entity. So, for example, Dr. Stan, as you know, if you did not have sufficient electricity in your system in the form of ions, chemical ions, you would not be able to live because your heart would not beat. Your heart beats because ions of these chemicals pass through your heart and they are a minuscule electrical charge, and that electrical charge causes your heart to beat. If you didn't have those things, those ions, your heart would simply be a useless lump of flesh in your chest. You would never be alive in the first place. So that is what we're talking about when we talk about the subject of my book.
All right, well, we're going to be back here in just a few moments with Alan Stang, and we'll tell you how you can get the book and learn more about the book. And it's a fascinating book. I just present it to you, Sydney, for your appraisal out there in the listening audience. I have no experience with it. Sydney, all of the evidence here is based upon the stories that come from the people who've used it. And well, anyway, we'll be back in just a moment with Alan here at Radio Liberty. Well, go ahead.
All right.
Go right ahead.
All right, Dr. Stan. So, again, everything in the universe is motivated by electricity. Man is again not only a biological creation but an electrical creation. And so this is what we are talking about, and what I'm writing about in the book, in addition to the science, the history, the background of what I'm calling electronic medicine, I'm also talking about the equipment. Now I've mentioned Dr. Stan, I mentioned the Guardian several times. What's the Guardian? The Guardian is it's a very simple, small, compact instrument. It's a frequency machine. It's an amazing machine. What it does is it takes your frequencies into the machine. You on the left side of the machine, on the input plate, you put the fingertips of your left hand. You turn the machine on. It reads the frequencies coming from your fingertips. It analyzes them. It magnifies them a million times. And then you put the fingers of your right hand on the out plate, and it sends the same frequencies, but magnified a million times, back into your system. It's really that simple. You don't have to know which frequencies to put back into your system. The machine knows that. The machine does all that. Again, it reads, it magnifies, it transmits back into your system. That's why it's called an imprinter and potentizer. It imprints your frequencies, potentizes them, sends them back into your system. And that is the entire procedure. I've just described it for you. It takes 7 seconds to imprint and potentize your frequencies, and then another 7 seconds to send them back into your system. You've now had a complete session with the Guardian. Now,
how long does this whole process take, Alan? I mean, does it take just a minute or two?
It takes less than a minute, Dr. Stan, to transmit the frequencies.
But what are the frequencies actually represent? In other words, the frequencies that supposedly are coming out of your left hand, what do they represent?
They are the all of the electrical impulses that are in your body.
I see, okay.
All of these electrical signals that we are talking about that are part of you, that are in your system, they are coming out and going back into your system.
Our review, hold that bit. We'll be back here in just a moment with Alan Stang. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and let's get the title of the book, and how can people get to your website and learn more about the book, and then we'd like to see how this machine differs from the Rife machine. But go ahead. First of all, how can people get to your website, Alan?
Very simple, Dr. Stan. They would simply go to stangbooks.com. That's S-T-A-N-G, stangbooks.com. And there they will see pictures of the Guardian and the other Eagle equipment. They will read about it. They will go to the book page and take a look at the cover of the book and read about the book. And then if they like what they see and they'd like to order the book, it's $10, they can go ahead and do so. So that would be one way of doing it. Another thing you can do, ladies and gentlemen, if you are not online, you could simply call toll-free. That toll-free number is 888-277-7607, extension 2551. Again, that toll-free number is 888-277-7607, extension 2551. If you don't have access, if you're not able to go online, you could call that toll-free number. So either way, you could get to us. What I recommend you do, if you think that what I have said so far, ladies and gentlemen, makes any sense, and you'd like to pursue it, the best way to do that would be to read the book, because in the book, again, I go back to the beginning and explain the history, the science, the background to all of this. I go through the equipment. And then after you read the book, if you still have a question or two, or if you'd like to order a piece of equipment, you get back to us. You go back to stangbooks.com, and you can do whatever you like right there online.
All right, fine. What's the title of the book?
The title of the book is, Dr. Stan, is Electronic Medicine, Cure for Cancer with a Question Mark. The question mark is very important. The way I've set the book up is I've written it as a kind of a medical detective story. I'm presenting the evidence, and then I wind up by asking you to decide what you think the evidence means.
All right, fine. Well, now, of course, how does this differ from the machines, the equipment that was created by Royal Raymond Rife?
There is another machine, Dr. Stan, that Eagle Research produces, the frequency generator. Now, the frequency generator is the closest one it has to what Dr. Rife was doing 75 or so years ago. But they don't call it a Rife machine because by now it is so far advanced over what the original technology was that you wouldn't really call it a Rife machine. But it is the closest thing to a Rife machine that Eagle Research has. The difference between the Rife machine and the Guardian is that with the Rife machine, you had to know the specific frequencies you were looking for. Dr. Rife, this monumental scientific genius you mentioned, Dr. Rife had discovered a series of many frequencies for use in certain situations, in the same way that Dr. Hahnemann was building up his repertoire of remedies back when he was developing homeopathy. Very similar analogous situation. But with the Guardian, you don't need to know specific frequencies. Again, the machine does that for you. It puts your system back into balance simply by taking all of your frequencies into the machine, imprinting them, magnifying them a million times, and then sending them back into your system. So the Guardian is not very much like a Rife machine, but the frequency generator, the frequency generator is much more like it. And by the way, again, ladies and gentlemen, you will see pictures of all of this equipment on my site if you're curious to know, to see what I'm talking about, what it looks like. Simply go there and you'll see all the pictures.
Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295 if you'd like to talk to Alan. And is there any evidence? In other words, it obviously has been treated, used to treat some people with cancer, but how often is it beneficial? Do we have any idea? In other words, would it be 1% of the cases, 50% of the cases, 80% of the cases? Is there any way to tell?
Dr. Stan, I cannot answer that. I don't know.
All right, fine. Well, let's go to Herman, who's calling in from Carmel. Hi, Herman. How are you doing?
Good evening. A fascinating program. I just want to mention for the audience on homeopathy, I have used a homeopathic product for years. It's imported from Europe, produced by Boron, B-O-I-R-O-N, and it's used by about 40 million people in Europe. It's called Oscillococcinum. It's sold in all of your health food stores, and you take it at the first inkling that you might be getting a cold or flu. It doesn't matter which type of cold or flu, and I have used it myself, my residents in care homes, friends, many people that I've suggested it to, and it works like magic. Now, that's a homeopathic product. And, again, people say, gee, I don't know what it does exactly, but it seems to work, and it's flying off the shelves. So I mention that. Again, that's an anecdotal example for the audience who may have never heard of homeopathy. And,
Herman, it's quite interesting when you say that there are people who may never have heard of homeopathy. You're quite right. But, you know, it's so interesting. If you go back to the 19th century when homeopathy was being introduced here in this country, homeopathy became the most used, the most popular, the most successful branch of medicine in this country. There were dozens of homeopathic medical schools. There were thousands of homeopathic physicians. In 1844, I think it was, the homeopaths formed the American Homeopathic Association, and 2 years later, the allopaths, the MDs, met in New York, and they formed the American Medical Association, and the specific reason they formed it was to destroy homeopathy, which they almost succeeded in doing toward the end of the 19th, the beginning of the 20th century. They almost succeeded in stamping homeopathy out completely, but back at the time I'm talking about, Herman, homeopathy was the main branch of medicine in use here in this country. Now, of course, now it is making an astounding, a remarkable comeback as more and more people are becoming dissatisfied with what they are finding in the offices of so-called orthodox medicine, and they're voting with their feet and they're leaving and looking for some alternative means of restoring their health. And so today we're seeing this very exciting resurgence of homeopathy. But you're right, even today, because of the orchestrated brainwashing conducted by what I call monopoly medicine, there are many people who still have never even heard of homeopathy.
Okay, fine. Well, anything else you'd like to say, Herman?
Well, what is the situation regarding the FDA? Now, we know that the government, in its infinite wisdom, has stamped out many other remedies that have come and gone, Laetril and other hoxy cancer things and so on, and things that have worked to some degree or another. So what is the chance? I know that they have raided companies that have made equipment of different types. So
yes,
where does where do you stand and where do they stand on all of this?
We'll find a raft of information, of material about FDA from the inside, testimony from the inside in my book about what FDA does. FDA these days is nothing more than a totalitarian dictatorial front for the monster pharmaceutical companies. It is the stormtrooper department of the monster pharmaceutical companies, and as you say quite rightly, Herman, what they do is they raid health food stores, they raid doctors. Their main job is to stamp out and squelch any possible competition that might upset this incredibly lucrative racket that the monster pharmaceutical companies, that monopoly medicine is running in our country. You mentioned, for example, Hoxie. Remember the case, Herman, recently in Virginia? This is just a few months ago, last year. A young man there whose name I can't recall. He's 16 years old. Abraham Cherix, that's his name.
Oh, yes, it was on the news.
Yes, all right. Well, he developed a Hodgkin's problem, went into the hospital. The doctors did chemotherapy. It failed. And so he and his family searched out for something else. They found the Hoxie treatment, which they I have to go to Mexico to get, run out of this country. The doctors went into court and got a court order to force the young man to take another round of the same treatment that failed the first time. Now, the psychiatrists tell us that one of the definitions, at least, of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result, that they were trying to force him. The only reason they failed in doing that is that a roar of outrage erupted around the country. I hope I played a small part in that outrage with an article I wrote and sent to all of the Virginia news outlets. That's where he is, Virginia.
Well, anyway, what happened to Alan? Did he have another? Have more chemotherapy? Did he
no,
go to
no,
sure,
he did
what
not.
Happened?
He did not, Dr. Stan. The court backed up and allowed him, under court supervision, to get the treatment that he and his parents want for him, the Hoxie treatment.
But did it help him? That's the question.
I don't know. That's the last thing I've heard about it.
That would be interesting to know what actually happened.
It would be fascinating to know where he stands now, but that is the last information I have on that particular subject. And you mentioned also Dr. Reif. Herman, remember that here you've got this monumental scientific genius.
Dr. Reif was such a medical genius. Whenever he would encounter a problem that he needed a solution to, he would invent the whole solution, a whole body of medicine to take care of, or of electronics, his microscopes, for example. He would invent all this to break through, to solve these problems. They ran this man out of town. They destroyed his equipment. He had to go into hiding. He had to flee the country to Mexico and go into hiding in Mexico. Well, this type of thinking is still what you see in this country. Doctors' offices raided. Right now you've got a bunch of doctors up in the Northwest in Washington State. I think you've got a dozen or so doctors up there under the FDA gun for daring to think and treat outside the medical monopoly box. You still have the same situation, Herman. You do not have medical freedom in this country. By medical freedom, I mean simply the right of the patient consulting with, working with his own physician to choose the kind of medical treatment he wants, as opposed to having it imposed upon him by somebody, a bureaucrat who often is not even a doctor, sitting in an office a couple of thousand miles away. But that is the situation we have here today.
Well, how is the Guardian able to be sold for the purposes of, for example, curing diseases?
Well, it's very
simple. Isn't that a way that the FDA shuts people down once you make a claim?
It is, Herman, but this is not, we're not talking about medical treatment. We do not use the word cure. We don't use the words heal or treat. We don't make any claims. We just report what people tell us. We are working with frequencies. We're not working on disease. The body heals itself. The difference in the way the allopath and the homeopath look at things is this, Herman. The allopath looks at the symptoms as the disease. The allopath, for example, sees a fever as the disease. The homeopath sees the symptoms, fever would be one of them, for example, as the body's attempt to throw off the disease, the body's defenses.
But, of course, now the physician would actually see the fever's response to an infection in most instances, or some sort of a disease process that's producing it. And, of course, the allopath would want to know what was causing this infection. So he would try to identify the type of bacteria. Anyway, Herman, we're going to let you go. We've got Jack calling from Carmel. And let's go to Jack. Hi, Jack, do you have a question or comment?
Well, yes, I do. A couple comments, Dr. Stan. The Atlantic Medical Journal, April 1927, I'll be getting this from the University of Michigan Taubman Medical Library real soon, but I've already seen a summary review of it. A Kate Baldwin medical doctor out in Philadelphia and her brother Grant Baldwin and about 50 colleagues were using a light instrument, and she gives a whole litany of presentations for which this light instrument, in her words, was a cure. And she said, and it was a courtroom testimony, that she would rather relinquish her medical license than she would the use of this light instrument. Then I wanted.
I'm sorry, Jack. What sort of a light instrument was it? Was it just a visual light, infrared light, ultraviolet light? What?
Actually, it was a light instrument in that time that used special lenses, and there, in fact, now is a book out by a doctor, Charles McGee, who has an instrument that's based on a Dr. Nogier of France, who apparently developed an instrument very similar to the one in 1927. But I wanted to also offer the Science Journal article from the journal Science, February 24, 1956. Otto Warburg, who was awarded the Nobel Prize in Biochemistry prior to this, gave a landmark treatise entitled The Origin of Cancer Cells. And he identified and delineated the precise causative mechanism for all cancer cells being the fact that progressively, incrementally, the cells of a tissue lose their ability to produce energy, ATP, aerobically, and then it becomes supplanted by anaerobic glycolysis.
I'm afraid, Jack, we're out of time, but God bless you. Thanks so much, and maybe you can call again sometime with more details on that. But right now we're going to have to let you go.
Thank you, Dr. Stanton.
And certainly, Alan, I've known Alan for many, many years. I know him to be an honest man. I'll tell you, I'm not necessarily sold on this, but I certainly presented him because I think he's I've never known him to say anything that he did not believe with an intensity. He's done a lot of study on this. And again, what's the telephone number, the website where people can get your material?
Again, Dr. Stan, thank you. The telephone number, toll-free, is 888-277-7607, extension 2551. That's 888-277-7607, extension 2551.
Okay, hold that thought. We'll be back here in just a moment with Alan Stain. Alan, why don't you go ahead and get your website out one more time?
The website is stangbooks.com, stangbooks.com. If you go there, you'll see pictures of the equipment, you'll see pictures of the horse, you'll see an explanation, you'll see the book. Everything that you need is there. Again, it's stangbooks.com.
All right, fine. How long have these units been out?
The Guardian has been out now about 2 years.
All right. And, of course, but they would have to have had some sort of a scientific basis for coming up with the this idea.
Well, I really should say this, Dr. Stan. This latest version of the Guardian has been out for 2 years. The machine has actually been around for many decades. It comes from Germany. But the latest version of the Guardian, the one that I'm talking about, the one the picture of which you will see on my site, has been in operation for about 2 years.
And this has actually been used in Germany for many years?
It has been used in Europe for many years, yes.
And, of course, it's basically then to read the frequencies and then to exaggerate those frequencies. Do they vary from person to person?
Oh, well, of course they do. They vary dramatically from person to person.
And is there some sort of a meter that these are recorded on, or how is
it? Not with the Guardian.
I see.
Now, Eagle is coming out very soon. There are already about 100 doctors lined up to get this latest Eagle equipment, which is the AccuTester. The AccuTester will tell you with a meter exactly what is wrong and where it is wrong, what you're allergic to, what's good for you, what's bad for you, how much of what's good for you you should take. It's going to be a remarkable development. Because it's going to do everything the Vega does. The Vega is the best machine of its kind in the world, which is a machine that comes from Germany, but it costs $22,000, and you need to go to Germany to take a course to learn how to use it. So you would wind up spending about $25,000 for the Vega. The machine I'm talking about, the AccuTester, that will any day now be coming out of Eagle, will be about $4,000. That machine will have a meter, but the Guardian is the most popular of all the Eagle equipment, probably because it's so simple. It doesn't have a meter. You don't have to know what frequencies you need. The machine does all that for you.
All right, fine. And of course, is there any literature in German on this?
I don't know.
All right, fine.
I'm sure that there must be, but I'm not aware of it.
All right, fine. Well, I guess it's been certainly Alan Stang, and Alan, it's always a pleasure having you with us. And thank you so very much for being with us once again.
It's always a delight to be with you, Dr. Stang. Thank you so much for having me.
Bye-bye. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I hope you enjoyed our interview with Alan Stang. It's I present this to you simply as an informational issue. There are lots of things that are very strange out there that I don't have all the answers to, and I wish I did. But I will tell you certainly one thing is for very, very certain, and that is that there is a great deal that we're seeing many, many problems in our society today that we never saw before. We're seeing, for instance, a dramatic increase in asthma in our young people. We're seeing a dramatic increase in autism and ADD and ADHD. And many of these entities, when I went to medical school, they just didn't exist. Like chronic fatigue syndrome, the fibromyalgia, the Lyme disease, the AIDS, the Ebola fever, all sorts of new and terrible diseases out there. Let me just suggest, if you'd like to know more about why we're facing so many new diseases, we have a talk. It's called Planned Population Reduction. Planned Population Reduction. It's a talk we gave for the Prophecy Club. It's available in DVD or video by calling 1-800-544-8927. We have a 4-tape set on population control. We have a video on population control. We even have a population control special. If you would like to hear the interviews with Dr. Dennegan, who heard Dr. Richard Day of the Planned Parenthood, he was the medical director of Planned Parenthood, talking to a group of doctors back in 1969, telling them about the cancer treatments that were suppressed, the need to create new diseases because there were just too many people in the world and people were going to have to die of something. They might die of cancer. The tape set is called The Due Order of the Barbarians. It's one of the few tape sets where we actually have a transcript of several of the talks. And then, of course, we have the full testimony of Dr. David MacArthur before the House Appropriations Committee for the military, asking for $10 million to create a brand new disease for which there would be no immune response that could be used as a means of mass killing. We have the complete testimony. It was sent to me by somebody in government who wanted the information out. We actually have the long-suppressed government report, the National Security Study Memorandum 200 that came out in 1974 over the signature of Henry Kissinger. Now, all of these reports can be made available through Radio Liberty. We hope that you want to get the material we have on population control. Certainly, you go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. We have posted there the Population Control Agenda monograph. That's the Population Control Agenda monograph, which not only talks about the medical aspects of what's going on and why they really outlawed DDT some 33 years ago. You know, now the World Health Organization has said, oh, shucks, why, it is not so bad after all. Why don't we just go ahead and start spraying rooms? And about 100 million people have died in the last 33 years. But, oh, shucks, have we just made another little mistake there? Or did we not make a mistake? Did they know exactly what they were doing? You need to get the information on DDT. It's in our 4-tape set on population control. Our interview with Dr. Edwards, who certainly had been in the front lines of the battle, to try to point out that the reason DDT was outlawed was not because it wasn't effective and not because it was dangerous to the health and not because it was carcinogenic, because the people who worked in the plants where they manufactured DDT had a much lower level of cancer. They outlawed DDT because it was saving so many lives from malaria. And 100 million people died. How could that happen? Well, our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Our website, RadioLiberty.com. If you'd like to get a free newsletter from the Radio Liberty, we'd be glad to send you one. And then, of course, we'd be glad to send you a catalog. Please pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for our leaders and pray for my ministry, Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. And so until, well, tomorrow evening, we'll be back with you at the same time. Dr. Stan saying good night, and may the Lord be with you.